And you're right, we better be in for the long haul. If we're not, we're faking. And the title of this message is The Importance of Sabbath Keeping. I know it's milk, but sometimes we hustle. When we're in need of meat, we eat a lot of meat, and sometimes we just need to step back and have a nice glass of milk to refresh our memories, to make sure we're on the right path. Of course, this is the 49th day since the count of Pentecost began. Began on the Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread. And sunset this evening. Then it goes to the 50th day, which is Pentecost. That's how we count it. It will be completed. And it will always be on a Sunday because the count begins on a Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread. Pentecost, of course, is the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of the First Fruits. Pictures a harvest of the first fruits, our resurrection. Jesus, being our way, sheaf offering, was resurrected on the evening, afternoon of the late afternoon before sunset on the Sabbath. And then on a Sunday, first day of the week, he was offered up as the way sheaf offering to God, becoming the first of the first fruits, becoming the firstborn from the dead, the firstborn son of God, the firstborn child of God. That too is our future. Now, but to get to Pentecost, to get to that future through this long haul that we're going through, then there are certain things we need to be aware of and we don't let slip in our life. See, we have to go through the 49th day to get to the 50th day. We have to go through many, many Sabbaths to get to the end of the race, to make it through the long haul. I like that. I hope you didn't mean time-wise. If you did, that's okay too. But if we have failed to observe the seventh day of God's Sabbath, and to observe it in the manner that is pleasing to God, not pleasing to ourselves, and we observe it in spirit and in truth, and if we fail to do that for the remainder of our life, and if we fail to teach people to do the same, our children and our friends, people that we come in acquaintance with, of anyone that would ask, and anyone would give you an opportunity to give them that information, if we fail to do that, and if we fail to keep it as God instructs us to keep it, then we're going to fail Pentecost. So we won't be part of the fulfilling of Pentecost. If we, as God's called out ones, profane God's Sabbath, and if we do profane it, and I know there's times that we all make mistakes and do things that's wrong, the next step is called repentance. If we profane God's laws in any way, and we don't repent, then we perish. And we cannot be expected to enter into the kingdom of God. See, that's how important it is. So there's a lot of reasons listed in the Bible that we need to keep God's Sabbath. Why we need to observe it, and how we need to observe it. How important it is to every one of us, important to our family, and important to the future of this nation. for this nation as a whole does not keep God's Sabbath. How important it is to the world, how important it is to the coming millennium, and how important it is to the new heavens and new earth. But when was it created? How was it created? Who created it? And why was it created? Some man, some place just decided, I think this is a good idea. Let's just start doing this. No, there's a higher power that determines things in this world, in this universe. The Most High God that sustains sovereign ruler and sovereign power over the whole universe and everything that exists. He has our very life in His hand. He provides everything that we need to sustain this life, the very air we breathe, the water we drink, and everything to sustain our own self, and He knows what's best for us. Of course, we always think we know what's best for us. If you don't think that yourself, someone will tell you. I guarantee you. But if you go to Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, just beginning in verse 1. This is after God had created, recreated, renewed the face of the earth, made it habitable for mankind, created all the plants, animal lives, and on the sixth day created man from the dust of the ground. Thus, in chapter 2, on verse 1, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And as it should read, by the beginning of the seventh day, because see, God finished His work by sunset the sixth day. God finished His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, set it apart. Because on it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. See, God created all things, and within that creation, at the end of His work, 6 days, then He created the Sabbath. He created it. He created it in the manner that was pleasing to Him, and in the manner that He knew that it would best benefit us. In Mark 2, second chapter of Mark, verse 27 and 28, Jesus was talking because He had done some good work on the Sabbath, which is lawful to do. And He was being questioned by the priests, Pharisees, and all the self-righteous people around. And He said to them, and because they had eaten some food, and His disciples had been hungry, and they took some grain and ate it. And He said to them, Jesus speaking, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. You see, the Lord God, the one that became Jesus Christ, through Him the Sabbath was created. That makes Him Lord of the Sabbath. He's the one that knows what the Sabbath is, what the Sabbath's for, and how it's made for mankind, and what we're to do within it, and how we're to observe it. There's a lot of ideas otherwise, but, you know, the Bible, no place at all through all the Scripture, from the Old Testament through the New Testament, you cannot find any place to where the Sabbath day was changed in any way. Not from the seventh day to the first day. Not from noon till dark. Was not changed in any way. The Sabbath is still a Sabbath from sunset Friday evening till sunset Saturday evening. That's the time that God made holy. That's the time that God sanctified. That's the time that He set apart for us to worship Him, to listen to His word. And Isaiah 58:13 tells us of the blessings that comes with keeping a Sabbath in an honorable way, pleasing to God. I'll turn back to Isaiah 58:13-14. The reason that this is so prevalent right now in my life, and because I know the importance of it, because you see, I was baptized in 82, Worldwide Church of God. And then the church split up. Well, I just sort of drifted around there for a few years. So I know what it is to break God's Sabbath after you come to the knowledge of it. I know what it is to come to true repentance and how important the Sabbath becomes in your life. I also made a trip to Kentucky last weekend to see a brother of mine that's in bad health. I needed to go see him bad. And him and I was the only one left of the siblings. But when I went up there, I only had Friday and Saturday, and I had to come back Sunday. So I thought, well, I'll go see him Friday evening, you know, and then I'll go back Saturday, and I'll spend most of the day with him and then rest and whatever. Well, when I left home, I left my books and everything sitting in the house. I had nothing with me. I didn't have the internet with me, no laptop or anything. Because Saturday, if I'm at home, then I'm on the internet listening to sermons. Well, here I am on the Sabbath up there, and I'm visiting my brother, which is great and good, and I really enjoyed it. But during this visiting, the conversation sort of drifts, you know. It's not always back on good things. It's back on memories we had as kids, and he's doing this and this, this and this, those kind. So I'm sitting there, and I'm missing the Sabbath. Even though I'm not working, I'm still missing the Sabbath. I'm involved in something else. And I'm trying to keep in mind and keep my mind straight and think about good things and think of God and the Sabbath, how important it is. I'm there getting hungry. You need to be fed. Even though it hasn't been that long since you either read or studied or prayed, but you still need to be fed. So that's the manna, you know, that God gives us all the time. We don't have to go out and gather it. We just need to rest that day. Read, study, pray, listen to God's word, listen to the sermons expounded, listen to the knowledge that comes from God. I needed that manna. You see, I'm visiting my brother and all that's good. I'm not doing evil, but I missed the Sabbath. So it really became strong in my mind that, hey, the next time I go to Kentucky, and God willing, he'll still be alive and we'll get to visit, I'm going to keep the Sabbath a little bit different. See, it was not my intent to break it, but I didn't feel comfortable with it. So that's why, you know, and then other things going on in life too. You know, we see so many things, and just like Mr. Shaw said, he knows so many people in the past that you went to church with that are no longer part of God's Sabbath. They're part of Sunday worship. Either that, or I even know ministers that are atheist. They even went to that point. They don't believe in anything. God's Sabbath just went by the way, and God's holy days. Not only is there a Sabbath day, there's Sabbaths. The weekly Sabbath and the annual Sabbath. And the annual Sabbaths are just as important as the weekly Sabbath. It's all holy time, God's holy time. So in this journey that we're taking, the working toward Pentecost and the fulfillment of it, we need to keep these basic things in mind. All of God's commandments. You know, adultery, all those things that's listed in God's commandments, lying and stealing, you know, we pretty much say, yeah. But sometimes with the Sabbath and the holy days, we sort of let things like slide and, well, I wonder if I can do this, or I wonder if I can do that. We're always looking for something we can do. Some way can I compromise with this a little bit? Do I have to rest here all day, or maybe I can go do this or go do that? You know what I mean? Humankind just does that. Mankind just does that. So we need to keep these things in mind. It's God's holy time. He made it time for us. See, Israel kept the Sabbath before the Ten Commandments were given at Mount Sinai. Because when the manna from heaven, they were instructed, you can gather manna, but don't go out on the seventh day. You gather twice as much on the sixth day. Some of them didn't listen. Well, so there was no manna for them. It rotted and it stank, you know, whatever. Whatever was left over, they couldn't use. So it's the same thing with us. God feeds us every week on the Sabbath. If we study, if we read, if we follow His instruction and do things that He tells us to do. You see, God ordained it. God's the one that said that we should keep this Sabbath. Mankind did not come up with it. Adam didn't come up with it. He didn't ask Eve, what do you think we should do today? God instructed him. In Exodus 20, I mean, I know over the years, my kids, when they were young and we'd get ready for the Sabbath and they were going to school, well, you know, if sports comes up, they want to play sports. No, you can't play sports Friday night. Begins the Sabbath, sunset, you can't be involved. Well, what about this? Well, no, we can't do that because it's a Sabbath. It's holy time. And then I've known of situations where you come up and you tell your son, no, you can't play basketball. Then somebody tells you that Kentucky's playing basketball and it's the Sabbath, and you're sitting there wondering, I wonder what the score is. Now, if I went and turned on the TV and watched that basketball game, I'm doing the same thing I told him not to do. You see? But it's easy for us to do those things. Music. This and this and games and this texting and internet and Facebook, and we're just inundated with all that, worse than it used to be. But in Exodus 20, 8 through 11, just focusing specifically on the Sabbath, in verse 8, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, your God. And if He is our God, then it's the Sabbath day of the Lord. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, your maidservant, nor your manservant, nor your livestock, nor the stranger within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and He rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it. See, He put His blessing on it. He sanctified it. He's the one that set it apart. He's the one that puts His presence in it by His Spirit and by the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of God the Father and the Spirit of Christ, if we have God's Holy Spirit, has come to us and made its abode with us. So when we keep the Sabbath, we're keeping the Sabbath with Christ and with God the Father. When we break the Sabbath, we do our own will and our own way and choose what we want to do and what not to do, then we're breaking it in front of them. You see? And if we continue to do those things with any other sin, then we can quench that spirit. We won't see Pentecost. In Leviticus 23 and 23, No, 2 through 3, I'm sorry. Leviticus 23, 2 through 3. It says, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, concerning the appointed feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my appointed feast." See, God appointed them. He appointed the Sabbath. He appointed all the times for the holy days. They all fall right when they're supposed to fall, and they last the period of time they're supposed to last. That's never changed and never will change. 6 days shall work be done, and the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. You shall not do any work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwellings. And these are the appointed feasts of the Lord, holy convocations which you shall proclaim in their appointed seasons. And that includes the Sabbath, weekly Sabbath, and the annual Sabbaths. Hebrews 4, 3 through 9 tells us that there remains a keeping of the Sabbath today, too. You can go into a lot of Greek, a lot of meanings of Sabbatismos. But if you search it out, then you'll find out that there remains a rest today for people of God, for a Sabbath day. It says in verse 3, it says, "For we who have believed, we ourselves are entering into the rest, as he has said. So I swore in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spoke in a certain place about the seventh day in this manner, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again concerning this, if they shall enter into my rest." See, we have a rest to enter in that the Sabbath points forward to. The rest of the millennium for one thing. And then the rest in the new heavens and the new earth. "Consequently, since it remains for some to enter into it, and those who had previously heard the gospel did not enter into it because of disobedience, again, he marks out a certain day in Psalms, saying in David, after so long a time, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken long afterwards of another day." See, the Israelites did not enter into the rest that God had promised, and we've not entered into the rest that God has promised yet. But we will enter into it. But the Sabbath points to forward to it, and so does the holy days. And the way that it should be read, in verse 9 it says, "There remains, therefore, Sabbath keeping for the people of God." Now, you can look that up in Greek, wherever you want to, but that's what the meaning of it is. There remains a keeping of the Sabbath for the people of God. And if there remains a keeping of the Sabbath, then it's to be kept from Friday evening at sunset till Saturday evening at sunset. And not according to our will, but the will of God. You see, God forbids work on the Sabbath even during the harvest times. In Exodus 34:21, it says that even during the harvest seasons, when it's time to go out and pick your vegetables out of your garden, get them ready for canning, we still observe the Sabbath. Maybe it rained all week. Maybe that's a nice sunny day. It'll probably be the only sunny day you have in 2 weeks. You still keep the Sabbath. See? This also includes any activity that's outside of the Sabbath that's not according to God's instructions. Any indulgences that we want to partake of that should not be done on the Sabbath. You see, God promises a blessing on all who keep his Sabbath. Keep it his way. You're right on the high places of the land. He'll take care of you. He'll provide your needs. Just honor him, and as with all the other commandments, the Sabbath is as important as the rest of them are. They're all part of the Ten Commandments of God. Keeping of the Sabbath, weekly and annually, is a sign between God and his people. In Exodus 31, 12 through 17. Exodus 31:12-17. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, Truly you shall keep my Sabbaths, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations to know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone that defiles it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel, and that includes us, shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations of the perpetual covenant. In verse 17, it says, It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. And in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. So it is a sign between God's people and God for us to keep the Sabbath and also to keep the holy days. Jesus kept and observed the Sabbath, both weekly and annual holy days. In Luke 4:16, and I know that we've been through these many, many times over the years. But there is new people. There's new people comes in all the time. Somebody calls, and they answer, then they're new. And even though when we should be having meat, sometimes we need milk. Last Saturday, I need milk. See, I need to remind myself, you don't get lax in it. You keep God's Sabbath. You can't compromise those things. 4:16. So Jesus was in Galilee, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and according to his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. That can also mean that in some translations, at Pentecost, days, talks about a period of weeks. But regardless, he was accustomed. And he observed the Sabbath every week. It was his custom, and he expects us to do the same thing. You see, Jesus always lived according to the commandments of his Father. He came to this earth to do the will of his Father. And he instructed us to follow suit, including the keeping of the Sabbath. John 8:29. Jesus, beginning in verse 28, actually, 8:28, says, Jesus said to them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you yourself shall know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father taught me, these things I speak. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, because I always do the things that please him. And can we always say that about ourselves? That we always do the things that pleases God, regardless of what we think in our mind that we should be doing something different. Do we always, as I should have done, look back and said, now wait a minute. Check this out. Are you doing something that's pleasing to God? And I'm not saying that he was condemning what I was doing. I'm just saying I was convicted. So I shouldn't have been doing that, right? Trying to do good, but sometimes you just think, well, I need to back up a little bit. And the Sabbath was still being observed during the time of Jesus' crucifixion because people were still keeping the Sabbath. They didn't come and do certain things because it was the Sabbath. People in that region kept the Sabbath. Jesus kept the Sabbath. He taught his disciples to keep the Sabbath. Paul, in his writings, in his life, along with the other apostles, practiced keeping the Sabbath. You turn to Acts 13 and 27. It says, "For those who were dwelling in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor the voices of the prophets who are read every Sabbath, have themselves fulfilled them in condemning him." You see, Paul always instructed and always taught on the Sabbath, along with other days, of course. In Acts 17 and 2, "And as was the custom with Paul, he went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them through the Scriptures, expounding and demonstrating that it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and testifying, 'This Jesus whom I am proclaiming to you is the Christ.'" See, that's what the Sabbath is for right there. Take the Scriptures. You read the Scriptures. You study the Scriptures. You instruct, you get instructed from God's Word on Jesus Christ, his rising from the dead, and the salvation that comes through that, then our future of being born into the family of God. That's what the Sabbath is for. All week long we're busy working, running around, doing this, doing that, doing this. I know we take time to pray and we take time to study, but the Sabbath is a 24-hour period of time that we can concentrate on God and on his Word. And that's what we need to be doing. We don't have to ask ourselves, "I wonder if I can do this." Just keep the Sabbath. I have to tell myself that. Just keep the Sabbath. You don't have to wonder if you're doing something right or wrong if you'll just keep the Sabbath. It's just that simple. It's a 24-hour period of time. Or, well, it could be from sunset to sunset. However many hours. We need to focus on those things. Sometimes we get sidetracked, and I'm very bad about that. I can go through here and any bad thing or any sin that I wanted to talk about, I can look at my own self. See, I got a basket full of them. So it's no problem for me to find something bad to talk about. But I thank God for his salvation and for his forgiveness. And I don't want to be one that has to someday say, "If only I'd kept the Sabbath." See, it's not optional. It's not to be kept to suit each one of our own fancies. It's holy time, set aside by God. He gives us the right to live or to perish. We can go for the long haul, be patient. See, Jesus warned, as was brought out earlier, that in the future we should pray that we would not have to flee on the Sabbath, that our flight wouldn't be on the Sabbath. So the Sabbath, within that, can tell you that the Sabbath will still be the Sabbath. Even in the tribulation, the Sabbath will still be the Sabbath. It hasn't been done away with, hasn't been taken away, hasn't changed. It is a sign of God's people. And a sign of God's people in the end times is that we'll be keeping the commandments of God, and we'll have the faith, the testimony of Jesus Christ. If you're keeping God's commandments, that includes the Sabbath and the holy days. It includes not lying, not stealing, not committing adultery, not coveting. Includes all of those things. Not taking God's name in vain, not worshiping idols that's so prevalent today in every aspect of society. God expects us to keep his way. So, let us then wait patiently. Wait patiently for the return of Jesus Christ. Let us keep God's weekly and annual Sabbath. Keep it with joy, with peace, with love, and in truth, because it was created by God. It has been made holy time from sunset Friday evening till sunset Saturday evening. It's been sanctified and set apart by God. The Sabbath has been blessed by God. God in Jesus' presence is in the Sabbath. At home or in an assembly, it's still the same amount of time. If you're by yourself, if you're sick, maybe you can't travel, you have to keep services at home for any unknown reason, or however many reasons, it's still the Sabbath. You still can't compromise with it, no matter. And being in an assembly on a Sabbath day don't make you a Sabbath keeper if it's not in your heart and in your mind. If your mind's someplace else, you're not keeping the Sabbath. See, therefore, we must seek God's will, not our own will. And it's God's will that we keep these Sabbaths, both weekly and both annual. So let's have a glass of milk, look back at ourselves, and even though we've heard these things for years and years and years, for some of us have been in the church so many years, we still need it. It's as important today as it was then.